Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. Hey, happy Wednesday to you today. I hope that your week is off to a great start. We are going to try to help you get through your week, get through your Wednesday, and get on to another weekend. We are happy to have you here with us today. You know, we do actually have a notable day in the history of sports this week, as tomorrow, October 24th, back in 1972, that's actually the day we lost Jackie Robinson. Of course, Jackie Robinson broke the baseball color line when he started at first base for the Brooklyn Dodgers back on April 15th in 1947. You know, when the Dodgers signed Robinson, they kind of heralded the end of racial segregation in professional baseball that had been relegating black players to other leagues since the late 1800s. But you know, the crazy thing that always stands out to me about Jackie Robinson, because you hear Jackie Robinson, that's the first thing you think of, the whole segregation thing. Hey, Jackie Robinson was more than just a baseball player. And we've talked about that a little bit on the Dose before. Jackie Robinson may have been the greatest athlete in the history of sports. I mean, think about this. Robinson enrolled at UCLA. He became the school's first athlete to win varsity letters in four different sports: baseball, basketball, football, and track. Hey, Jackie Robinson could play anything. I know we know him for baseball, and understandably so, but he could have played anything. He was that good. Now, I know we have seen a few players that played two sports. You know, we saw Bo Jackson, we saw Deion Sanders. We've seen a few guys do that. Show me the ones that played four sports, because Jackie Robinson played four and played them really, really well. And he could have played any of those sports professionally had he chosen to do so. Jackie Robinson passed away of complications from heart disease and diabetes on October 24th, back in 1972. He was just 53 years old. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us who you think was the best athlete of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. You've got a question, maybe you have a comment or a suggestion. Sometimes Facebook or Twitter is just a really, really quick way to get in touch with us. Drop us a line. Let us know what is on your mind. We'll always take the time to get back to you. We may end up using what you send us on the show. So be sure to reach out. We would love to hear from you. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. I think I heard this right the other day. There's like right around 60 shopping days left until Christmas. Yeah, that hurts a little bit. But just something to keep in mind, you might want to go over to tpublic.com. Search Daily Dose, scroll until you see our logo, and click on that, and there you're going to find a number of things that you could pick up for that Daily Dose listener in your life. Maybe you want a set of coffee mugs. Maybe you want a hoodie or a sweatshirt or a t-shirt. You can pick those in whatever color you want. They'll get them to you quickly. Maybe you want some stickers. Maybe you want a laptop cover or a cell phone cover. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com and get the Daily Dose gear that you need. Like I said, those holidays are sneaking up on us really, really fast. Hey, today on the show, yes, we took a week off last week. Actually went on vacation to Southern California. I didn't go to where I usually go and just spend time with family. I actually went to San Diego, did see some family out there. But then, okay, I'll just be honest with you. I basically sat by the pool for a few days. And you know, it was pretty interesting out in San Diego. Never know exactly what you're going to get from one town to the next, but I actually talked to a few Charger fans while I was out there. Yes, they do still exist. No, there's not very many of them. Most of them are bitter. And of course, they are extremely miserable. Hey, the Chargers lead the NFL in almost winning every single year. So you know, they're kind of bitter. But you know what's interesting about talking to some Charger fans while I was out there in Southern California? I had a couple different Chargers fans say the same thing. They said, you know what? The Chargers are going to end up getting booted out of Los Angeles. I don't know that I've heard that nationally. I don't know that I've heard that on any sports talk just yet. But they are saying the Chargers are going to end up getting tossed out of LA because they're not getting any support in LA. And when you think about that, we are seeing that already. Go look at a Chargers game. There are no Chargers fans there. Whatever team they are playing in LA, they're bringing all the fans. It sure isn't Charger fans. Now, this should surprise no one. I mean, the Chargers should have never left San Diego, and they certainly shouldn't have left for LA where they didn't have the fans. But I mean, you have cheap ownership that wants a free stadium, and the fans in San Diego, they're already paying enough in taxes. They didn't want to give that ownership a free stadium. So, you know, they packed up and they left. But now that I'm starting to think about it, like if the Chargers were to leave LA, where could they end up? Where would they go? I started to think about like what cities, if they did leave, would want a pro football team. I don't know. Maybe they'd move down south to San Antonio. Maybe San Antonio could have the NFL down there. Something to think about. Or maybe they would go up to the Great Northwest. Maybe Portland. We know Portland has some pretty rabid fans. Maybe a city like Portland could bring in the NFL. And I would think that the city of Atlanta would love to get a pro football franchise someday. Hey, you never know. Anyways, we are now rested. We are recharged. We are ready to go. And there is a lot to get into in the world of sports. Of course, the World Series got started last night. The NFL and college football are now rolling. And the NBA got going last night as well. We've got a few things to look at in all of those major sports. And we also have a few things you might not want to look at as well. I'll explain what I mean here in just a few minutes. And let's jump into a little breaking news. The NBA, of course, tipped off their season last night. Unfortunately, the people over in China did not get to see it because China refused to show any of the games over there. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Speaking of sad, it was a little bit of a letdown last night when the New Orleans Pelicans had to open their season at Toronto without top draft pick Zion Williamson. Of course, he's out with that knee injury. They're saying he's going to miss the first 2 months of the season. And hey, I don't want to sound like all chicken little, the sky is falling here, but I'm more than a little bit worried about Zion Williamson. That is a big kid. That is an explosive kid. And you're already talking about a knee injury? Yeah, that does scare me a little bit. The Pelicans go to Toronto. They do lose as the Raptors win that game in overtime. You know, the Raptors actually did hand out their championship rings last night. Those gaudy, ugly championship rings that are just hideous. They even gave one to fanboy Drake before the game, apparently. Now, they say that Drake's ring had the boy inscribed on the side of it. Probably because the wannabe dork would have taken up just a little too much space. I think they would probably have to wrap that around the ring like once or twice. It would have been more fitting, but would have been a little bit more to add to that ring. We'll be talking a little bit more NBA a little bit later today. And the 2019 World Series did also get started last night in Houston as the Houston Astros hosted the Washington Nationals in Game 1. The Nationals ended up stealing Game 1 5-4. They take an early lead in that series. 20-year-old left fielder Juan Soto, he had 3 hits. He had 3 RBIs. The Nationals somehow found a way to hang on. They beat Gerrit Cole. Do you realize? That is Houston Astros pitcher Gerrit Cole's first loss since back in May. He's been really good. The Nationals found a way to beat him. Hey, let's hope this series is as good as Game 1 was last night. That was actually a pretty fun game last night. I think this series has a chance to be very, very entertaining. I enjoyed seeing that start. Let's hope it kind of keeps going along that same route. We have close games, tight games. Hey, both of these teams, very, very good starting pitching staffs. Both of these teams can generate runs. Should be a very fun World Series. Shifting to college basketball, which is kind of crazy to think about, but it's going to be here before you know it. The Michigan State Spartans, they should be pretty good this year with point guard Cassius Winston returning, but they have actually already made history. And the season hasn't even started because for the first time in Michigan State school history, they are the preseason number one team in the country in the AP preseason poll. Sparty got 60 of 65 first place votes in voting results that were released on Monday. They easily beat out number 2 Kentucky and number 3 Kansas. They were the only other teams that actually got first place votes. Now, I know what you're thinking. And I'm kind of thinking the same thing. We all see Kansas, and what do we think? I mean, we're all like, well, they better enjoy it while they can. I know Bill Self has a pretty good team coming back this year, but you better get it in while you can because they are about to get some huge punishment, right? Kansas is going down. We all know it. But then I start thinking about that, and I start thinking, like, they're going to get huge punishment, like, I don't know, like Louisville? I mean, Louisville is ranked number 5 in the preseason poll. What about North Carolina? North Carolina is ranked number 9 in that preseason poll. Arizona is ranked number 21 in the preseason AP poll. We keep hearing something huge is going to happen in college hoops. Nothing's happened yet. I mean, aside from Rick Pitino getting fired, and he had his own mess back at Louisville to deal with. So I don't know that that had anything to do with this. Aside from that, who else has gotten fired? I mean, North Carolina has been under investigation for like a decade now. Nothing's ever happened. We still haven't seen anything take place there. So I don't know that anything's going to happen to Kansas now. I'm not sure Bill Self or Kansas is going anywhere. I'm just going to go on the record as saying this. I'll believe it when I see it. I know Kansas isn't Missouri, but you're going to have to show me. I'm going to pretend I'm from the show me state. You're going to have to show me something before I believe Kansas is going anywhere. Finally, former Miami and Georgia college football coach Mark Richt said he had a heart attack early Monday morning, but they say he's doing okay. He is now resting and he anticipates a quick recovery. Richt is actually now working as an analyst for the ACC network and for ESPN. He tweeted on Monday that he plans on returning to work later this week. The 59-year-old Richt joined the ACC network back in April and has appeared on shows throughout the season. Of course, he retired as Miami's coach back in December after he had gone 26-13 in 3 seasons at his alma mater. But Richt spent 15 seasons as Georgia's head coach. He went 145-51. He did win 2 SEC championships and he won 5 Eastern Division titles. Now, I haven't heard anyone else reporting this. But as usual, the Daily Dose I-Team has uncovered the reason that Mark Richt had a heart problem. Yeah, let's go ahead and play the music. Let's break this down. We do have a little bit of breaking news. The Daily Dose I-Team has reported to me that Mark Richt suffered the heart attack after he laughed nonstop for nearly 2 weeks once he had watched Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs lose at home to South Carolina and Will Muschamp. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't know how these things work medically, but that seems like some pretty sound info from the Daily Dose I-Team. As usual, they get the scoops that no one else can find. Nice job, Daily Dose I-Team. As usual, you bring it every single time. Hey, coming back, this is truly, at least in my opinion, the greatest time of the year in the world of sports. All 4 major sports leagues are going, as opposed to like the summer when there isn't much to watch. We have too much to watch right now. It's hard to see everything. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few things to look at, and we're going to talk about a few things you might not want to look at. So like I said, I just got back from vacation, spent a week on the beach, spent a week laying by the pool out in San Diego, rode jet skis a little bit, actually tried to do that whole stupid paddleboard thing. My shoulder did not really care for that much. I had to kind of take it easy on some of those things. But you know how when you're at the beach or you're at the pool and you see someone walk by and you just think, like, wow, like that is an attractive person. I can look at that person. That is a human being made in like God's own image. And that is a nice person to look at. Look at it! And then you have those other people. And no, I'm not doing any body shaming or anything like that. But I mean, if your body does look like a giant ball of chewed up bubblegum, then why are you the one that insists on wearing the least amount of clothes? Like, I don't understand that. Maybe that's just me. It's not something I want to look at.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
But there it is on display for everyone to see. Well, today on The Dose, we're actually going to be talking about some of those same situations. We've got a few situations in the world of sports right now. Some of them are really attractive. Some of them are super positive to look at. And a few other ones, yeah, you might want to hide your eyes from those. Let me explain and you'll kind of see what I mean. Like we said earlier, the World Series in Major League Baseball is now underway. And the baseball purists that like to look down their noses at the rest of us common folk, because we are just way too stupid to truly appreciate their beautiful game, they're all in hog heaven right now. The baseball snobs love this time of year. October baseball is amazing. And I will give them this. At least it's more watchable than, you know, throughout the whole year. Back when it starts in January or whatever it is. At least now you can watch some baseball. There are some repercussions. There is something hanging in the balance in each of these games. I mean, slow down on me being at the edge of my seat for these 5-hour marathons. But okay, I get it. At least postseason baseball has some meaning. But think back to this season. What was baseball telling us to look at all season? What were they saying was the thing to look at? What were they saying? Hey, this game is so exciting. Home runs are completely dominating the sport. Hey, I don't know if you're watching baseball. I don't know if you're smart enough to appreciate this game, but home runs are really taking off in baseball. Yes, they're playing with a rubber ball that they got like out of a bubblegum machine or something, but the home run is so exciting. Look at the home run. It's super sexy. It's really cool to look at. In the 2019 regular season, more home runs were hit than in any season in the history of baseball ever. Wait, it's going to get a little bit crazier. The 6,776 home runs that were hit this year are 671 more home runs than were hit in any previous season. But wait, there's more, because I want you to understand just how amazing that number 6,776 really is. You have to understand the previous record for most home runs was 6,105 set back in 2017. That was more than 500 than the previous record. So 2019's record is more than 1,000 more home runs than the third most homers in a single season. Back in 2000, when 5,693 balls got launched out of the park, it's 1,200 more than were hit just last year. 14 different teams set franchise records this year for home runs. 273 different players had double-digit home run seasons. The home run is completely dominating baseball, and it is making baseball so much more exciting. Isn't it exciting when you go watch baseball and the ball is just launching out of the park? It's just like the steroid days. Look at how sexy baseball is. But here's the thing. They don't want you to look at this, because I don't care how great your home run numbers are. When it comes to the playoffs, it's all about the pitching. And here's something that's, I don't know, maybe just a little bit weird to me. For all the talk about middle relievers and bullpens, the two teams in the World Series have two of the best starting pitching staffs in the game today. The New York Yankees, they were going to out-hit everyone with that nasty lineup of theirs. Yeah, that didn't happen. The Los Angeles Dodgers, they were going to out-hit everyone with their nasty lineup. Meanwhile, I mean, Washington has Max Scherzer. They've got Steven Strasburg. They've got Patrick Corbin. And then we have the Houston Astros with Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole and Zach Greinke. And those are the teams in the World Series, not the big hitting lineups, the pitching lineups. Now, don't get me wrong, both Washington and Houston can hit. But for all the analytics and for all of these inflated home run stats and that rubber ball they've been playing with all year, if you have pitching, you are going to be tough to beat in the postseason. Don't look at that part, though.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Like, ignore that, because, hey, baseball is holding on for dear life, just trying to keep some fans tuned into their game. And I'll be honest, I think it's getting harder and harder. It's such a slow game. I think they're trying to manipulate the game to get fans however they can. They've got to play with a tennis ball. Bring in a load of tennis balls. We'll paint them white and put some red stitches on them. But they want you to look at the home runs. They don't want you to look at actually how success happens in baseball. Yeah, it's pitching. It's not hitting. Let's move over to the NBA. And the NBA, of course, has been in the news a lot lately. The NBA season got underway last night. And while we haven't here at the Dose, like, dug into the coming NBA season quite yet, we probably will here soon. It's just that it's such a long season. I don't feel like talking about basketball quite yet. We will have so much time to look closer at the season and kind of dig into divisions and conferences and who are the top teams and all those things. But there are some really interesting stories to keep an eye on over in pro basketball. Even this early in the season. And there are also a few stories that the NBA, yeah, they don't want you to watch. They want you to look away. Stop looking at me We don't want you to see that.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Of course, the big story in the NBA, we actually talked about it briefly a couple weeks ago, is the NBA's relationship with the country of China. The country of China loves the NBA. They love basketball. And when you see a player like a Yao Ming come over there, have the kind of success that he had, hey, the country of China was all in on the NBA, and the NBA in turn loves China, and they really love that money. There are so many Chinese fans. They give the NBA over $4 billion in revenue. What's not to like? I mean, we've got a great relationship here. But remember this, and this is one thing that the NBA always wants you to look at. Remember that the NBA is a league that has always prided themselves on kind of being at the forefront of that social activism, right? They will wear the t-shirts. They will push for college athletes to get paid. Hey, they will even call out the president of the United States of America and refuse to go to the White House just based on their principles. And the NBA loves for people to look at that. Hey, we stand for the oppressed and we fight for human rights. Never forget that. I know the NFL, they're a bunch of, you know, rich, old, white men. But here at the NBA, we do it the right way. Here at the NBA, we stand for the oppressed. Never, ever forget that. Yet, just don't look at the NBA to go making any stands against China. Because we all saw last week that the league collectively peed down their leg when they played chicken with China. Free speech? Oh, never mind. We don't need no free speech. You know, that just leads to problems. I mean, you're just going to end up saying something silly, so we don't really need free speech. Let's kind of just knock that all to the side. Hey, wrongly imprisoned? Well, I don't know. Maybe you better check into the facts first, buddy. Maybe you aren't quite as educated as we are in the NBA. Because I don't know if you realize this, but a lot of those poor Chinese prisoners, they're getting exactly what they deserve. How dare they be Muslim? That's going to get you locked up in China. You think the NBA is going to speak up about that? Hey, that's in China. That's not our problem. We don't live in China. That's their problem. Now, I will say this. I thought maybe the NBA players didn't want to say anything while they were on the ground in China. They didn't want any kind of problem. They didn't want any kind of threats. They didn't want any sort of a situation while they were there. But then they're going to come home and they're going to say what's on their mind. Yeah, that didn't happen at all. That's not what happened whatsoever. So remember last year when on Martin Luther King Day, and LeBron James, who is one of the most vocal NBA leaders, remember when LeBron tweeted, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere?" He went on to say, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Thank you, MLK50. Yeah, that was total BS, apparently. Because when it was time to put their money where their mouth was, LeBron James said that Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey wasn't educated enough to speak on the subject of Hong Kong trying to become a democratic state. So if you want to look at the sexy, look at what the NBA does when things are easy. Look at it! Hey, I'm not taking away everything the NBA does. They are behind some very good causes. I'm not taking anything away from the school that LeBron James started, some of the good causes that the NBA has been behind, but they claim to stand up for the little guy. They claim to stand up for people that can't stand up for themselves. They claim to stand for truth and justice. Yeah, until money's involved. But here's the thing. You don't get to be compared to Muhammad Ali or Jackie Robinson or Tommy Smith or John Carlos when you only protest when it is easy and it is popular and it has no repercussions. I will say this. As a basketball coach for a number of years, I always kind of took pride. Our basketball players were a little bit more, I don't know, kind of out there. They didn't mind like putting something on their shoes. Maybe it's political. Maybe it's just whatever they were dealing with. That was kind of a thing. I always kind of thought that was kind of cool. But I will say this. I have never personally been so embarrassed for a league as I am right now for the NBA. You had a chance to make a stand for people that can't stand for themselves. You cowered to the dollar. I don't want to hear your stances too much anymore. I really don't. I don't want to hear your political leanings anymore. You had your chance, and what did you do? You willingly chose to shut up and dribble. Hey, don't look to the NBA for social stands anymore, kids, because they apparently only take them when they're financially beneficial. By the way, I know the NBA is trying to spin that they're catching the NFL and fans, and pretty soon they're going to bypass the NFL and fans. And I mean, they should be. Basketball is a much more worldwide sell of a sport than pro football is. But I mean, the TV ratings, when you really look at them, like a Thursday night nothing game crushes NBA championship games. So that's kind of a joke. And if we subtract a bunch of Chinese fans from that equation, yeah, the NBA might need to rethink things just a little bit. That was a really, really bad look for the NBA. Really, really bad look for some of the top stars in the NBA. And you can't change that now. That's done. You should have acted when you had the chance. Let's stay in the NBA and let's get off the political stuff. I don't want to talk about that anymore. Let's look at this. The Los Angeles Clippers, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Houston Rockets are among the favorites to win this coming NBA title. Hey, if you are selecting the top teams in the NBA this season, I mean, the teams that are truly favorites to win the championship, it's kind of who you have to pick. It would probably be those teams that went and got the big name free agents, right? The Los Angeles Clippers went out and signed Kawhi Leonard and then got Paul George. The Los Angeles Lakers grabbed Anthony Davis so they could pair him up with LeBron James. The Houston Rockets traded to get Russell Westbrook. They're going to team him up with James Harden. Hey, look, everyone, the big dog markets with the big dog free agents are going to win this year's NBA championship. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But when I look at the NBA, I kind of have to be objective and say, well, I don't know what James Harden and Russell Westbrook are going to look like together. I'm not sure how Houston is going to look together. I think that Mike D'Antoni will find a way to get those two to coexist. I think he'll figure out, he's a smart guy. He's worked with less than that. So I think he'll figure some things out. But are they truly going to be an NBA championship contender? I kind of got to wait and see on that. And then I move over to the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm not sure if either LeBron James or Anthony Davis is going to stay healthy. They struggled with that over the past couple seasons. And when I look at the Lakers, I look at that surrounding cast and I go, that's a really strange mismatch group. I don't know how much faith I have in those Los Angeles Lakers. Aside from the two big dogs, that's a weird pairing of characters. Like, you've got Rajon Rondo, that's going to be your go-to point guard? That seems kind of weird to me. So I don't know if I'm all in on that. And then I look at the Los Angeles Clippers. Hey, Paul George has never won anything. So I don't know how much faith I have in that. I know it might not be sexy to look at some of the other teams. We want to look at those big market teams. But there are some other teams out there, a little bit smaller market. They might be better than people think. Hey, the Milwaukee Bucks, they have the most dominant player in the game right now in Giannis Antetokounmpo. They kept Chris Middleton. They kept Robin Lopez. Oh, and they also picked up Wes Matthews and Kyle Korver. Now, neither one of those players are what they used to be, but they can both knock down some perimeter shots. That could change the Bucks quite a bit. The Bucks are going to be a load. I would make the Milwaukee Bucks probably my favorite over in the East. And I'm not trying to go all homer here, but the Denver Nuggets should be pretty good again this year. They have a ton of depth. Think of all the good players that the Nuggets have. Nikola Jokic, obviously. Paul Millsap, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Torrey Craig, Malik Beasley. They went and picked up Jeremy Grant in free agency, who should free up some things in the front court, do some dirty work, get some rebounds. Michael Porter Jr. is supposed to finally be healthy. Hey, the Nuggets could challenge in the Western Conference. And then you have the team that knocked off the Nuggets in the Western Conference semifinals, the Portland Trailblazers. I'm not exactly sure what to expect from them, but I think Portland's going to be a tough out again. Hey, Damian Lillard, I don't think he's going anywhere. Neither is CJ McCollum. We'll see if Yusuf Nurkic can stay healthy, but young players like Zach Collins, Gary Trent, they're coming along pretty nice. They went and picked up Hassan Whiteside, which scares me a little bit because he was terrible in Miami, but maybe they could get him to buy in and just go do some dirty work. They did also pick up Kent Bazemore, who can give the Blazers a little bit of defense. Now, those aren't big name signings. Portland isn't a big market team, but Portland's going to compete. They're going to be a pain. I know the big names in the NBA are going to get the attention. Look at the Clippers. Look at the Lakers. Look at the Rockets. But teams like Milwaukee, Denver, Portland, I'll throw Utah in there for sure. Maybe, I don't know, someone small like Indiana? And I know that we're really quick to bury them, but why do I feel like the Golden State Warriors are just lurking in the water, waiting for everyone to count them out? They still have a few guys on that roster that know how to win some games. Hey, it won't surprise me to see someone like Steph Curry go out and just dominate this year and put his name in the running for MVP. There are a few teams out there. They might not be the first ones that you'd think to look at, but you might want to check them out. Maybe not quite as sexy, but they might end up being even better. Let's switch over to college football. Another week of college football is in the books. And we have another missing piece of that puzzle. I told you before, all season, especially in the NFL and college football, we're trying to kind of solve that puzzle. Which team is actually good? Which team isn't good at all? Which team is a poser? Which team maybe we were kind of discounting actually ends up being a little bit better than we thought? And this last week, we got another piece to kind of put in there, and we try to figure out who the best teams in the country are. Now, there weren't a ton of shakeups this past week, but the season is starting to take shape. And one of the things that we can easily look at in college football and we can start getting all excited about is this. Hey, everybody, look at this. Look at it. There are still a number of undefeated teams out there. I mean, right now, there are 10 undefeated teams in the country. Now, wait a second. I was told there would be no math, but there's 10 teams. Only 4 teams get into the college football playoff. Could this be the year that we finally get some true chaos? Could we end up having like 6 or 7 undefeated teams waiting to get into the Final Four? Yeah, don't look at that at all. Don't waste your time. I mean, you can, but it's probably going to be a huge waste of your time because this happens every single year. Hey, last year after week 8, we had 8 undefeated teams. And then as it comes down the stretch, like it always does, we see these undefeated teams just start dropping like flies. Remember, there are some big games coming, and I mean huge games. I know that we don't have the college football playoff that we want. Personally, I would just like to see 8 teams. I think that would be enough. Call it good. But some of these games coming up in the next month, oh, they're playoff games. Spin that however you want to. This is all going to take care of itself because we're going to pare down those 10 teams, and we're going to get it down to probably 2 or 3 teams that are still undefeated. And that's going to be it. And then, yeah, there'll be some arguments about who gets the 3 spot and who gets the 4 spot. But for the most part, we're going to know who the top teams are. Now, the one chance we have for chaos would actually be if everyone gets beat, because then we're all starting from ground zero. That is going to be more interesting than if we have a bunch of undefeateds. That never happens. It might look like it's going to happen right now, you know, 3rd week of October or whatever. But come the end of the season, when we start getting into late November, we're going to see most of those teams. They're going to end up taking losses. So it might be sexy. It might be kind of cool to, hey, look at all the undefeated teams. Don't worry about that. Those things won't last. While we're on the subject of undefeated teams, it's very easy to look right now at the Big Ten and the SEC, 2 of the best conferences in the country, and just declare, hey, I know we try to hype some other teams. We try to pick some other teams, but it's just going to be the same old favorites again. I mean, Wisconsin lost on Saturday. Michigan has already lost twice. Most likely, it's going to be Ohio State again in the Big Ten. And then over in the SEC, we talked about it earlier, Georgia lost to South Carolina, which really got Mark Richt cracking up. Auburn lost to Florida. Alabama is just going to cruise again. Once again, we're going to end up with Alabama and Ohio State in that college football playoff. And that might happen. But remember what we always say when we're looking at college football. These are 18 and 19-year-old kids. Hey, they can have a flat week. And not only can they have a flat week, they feel pressure. Well, here's the thing when you're talking about pressure. The pressure might now be completely off of Wisconsin. It might be off of Georgia. Could be off of even Auburn or someone like Florida. Ohio State hosts Wisconsin this week. Now, maybe we're going to see Wisconsin pout about losing to Illinois last week. Or maybe they completely flip it. Maybe they play with nothing to lose because they're like, hey, we already got beat. We're not going to go undefeated. But maybe they give Ohio State all they want this coming week. And don't forget, Ohio State does still have Penn State. That could be a battle of undefeateds. They do still have Michigan. And my goodness, Michigan is going to have nothing to lose whatsoever because that game's going to be for their season. Can Ohio State still go undefeated? Sure, but it's going to take some work. And then over in the SEC, hey, Alabama still has the heavy, heavy lifting. They still have LSU. And LSU is looking really, really good on both sides of the ball. And I can't even believe I'm saying that. Because when was the last time we talked about an LSU quarterback without laughing afterward? Alabama still has Auburn. I don't like Auburn quite as much, but hey, Auburn is no joke. And Alabama would still have the SEC championship game if they make it that far, which would mean they would probably be seeing Georgia or Florida. Hey, Alabama is going to have their hands full in all those games. I know it might be sexy to kind of look and say, hey, the favorites in the Big Ten and the SEC, they're just going to roll again. Don't look at some of those other teams that are still out there because Alabama and Ohio State, they've still got a lot of work to do. Another team that is cruising and has a real legitimate shot to go to the college football playoff is once again another favorite. And this one is in the Big 12 because the Oklahoma Sooners are 7-0. They already beat Texas. They have just two ranked teams left on their schedule, at least until a Big 12 championship game. Those two teams left on their schedule, number 23, Iowa State. That should be a pretty easy win, right? And number 14, Baylor, who, while I think Baylor is scrappy, they haven't played anyone. And I mean, they haven't played anyone. So Oklahoma should coast to an undefeated regular season if they just don't slip up. The Sooners are blowing everyone out. And quarterback Jalen Hurts is one of the biggest reasons for their success. Hey, I told you a few weeks ago, Jalen Hurts, at least then and probably still now, he would be my early season Heisman favorite. He already has thrown for over 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns. He's already rushed for over 700 yards and another 10 touchdowns. Remember when Jalen Hurts was at Alabama? And we all kind of looked at him and just thought, well, I mean, Jalen's just a little too conservative. So on comes Tua Tagovailoa, and we're like, well, so much for Jalen Hurts. I mean, he had a fun career while it lasted. But, you know, kid, you might want to start studying a little bit more because obviously pro football is probably not in your future. You were kind of a nice running quarterback, but that passing stuff, leave that to somebody else. Hey, forget college football. We look at Jalen Hurts right now, and I'm like, this kid might be worthy of a top draft pick. It is extremely appealing to look at Jalen Hurts and think, hey, this kid could set the NFL on fire. And I like Hurts. I really do. I'm even kind of rooting for this to happen. But there's one thing I don't want to look at. There's one thing that is really, really unattractive to look at. That is really, I guess, just say unsexy to look at.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Yeah, and that's Cleveland Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield. Yeah, don't look there, folks. Because when you see how Baker Mayfield is doing right now, it just might make you think Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley, like, dude could make Blake Bortles look good. Aww. Oklahoma quarterbacks have won the last two Heisman trophies with Baker and then Kyler Murray last year. And hey, Jalen Hurts could be on his way to a third right now. But at what point do we kind of have to say, okay, Lincoln Riley, he's just like an offensive freak. He seems to be ahead of most every team, especially in that Big 12. So I don't know exactly what to think of Jalen Hurts right now. I think he's good. Is he great? I don't know. I'm not sure. I do think I could look pretty good in that offense, especially if I get to throw to wide receiver CeeDee Lamb. Because, wow, CeeDee Lamb looks like a future star. And by the way, Oklahoma fans, and I know you got to be excited. I talked to some Oklahoma fans. They are hyped. You might want to enjoy this, like really, really enjoy this season. And also, you might want to start cheering for the Dallas Cowboys because if those boys end up struggling and kind of going downhill, and I think if they don't win a playoff game or two this year, yeah, we could easily see Lincoln Riley taking over for Jason Garrett in Big D. Kind of sexy to look at Jalen Hurts as the next pro star until you look at Baker Mayfield and then you see a lot of warts and some things that aren't so good. Speaking of the NFL, the National Football League has completed week 7 and things there are also taking shape. But sometimes, you know, the more we think we know, the less we actually know. Because the NFL, it's a weird place. Sometimes it's hard to read. Want some proof? Here's an example. Here is something to look at. And here is something really, really obvious and really, really easy. Everyone on talk radio is talking about it. Everyone is talking about it everywhere if you're talking about the NFL. The NFL officials are so terrible. Oh my goodness, they're so bad. Pass interference is a mess. Holding calls are just running rampant. They're so ridiculous. Instant replay, it's a complete disaster. By the way, can we stop calling instant replay in the NFL? Because there is nothing instant about it. Can we change that to like delayed replay? You know what? I couldn't quite see if he was inbounds or not. Let's go ahead and check the delayed replay on this. Because here is a replay. It is going to delay the game for like 10 minutes. There's nothing instant about that. The NFL has bungled calls all over the place, and the NFL officials are absolutely terrible. It's painful to watch, and it's easy to look at that side of it. And I completely understand it. I mean, we all saw last Monday when the NFL refs decided to hand the Green Bay Packers a few gifts in their game against the Detroit Lions, called a few phantom penalties. They make so many head-scratching calls. Like, I don't even know what you're ruling. And when we see sometimes the instant replay get brought into this whole situation, sometimes I think the NFL officials say, I don't even care what's on the replay. I'm not even going to look at it. I'm just going to stick with whatever call was made on the field. I think we're seeing some of that. I think we're seeing some pushback by the officials. The NFL is really struggling with their officials, and it is easy to point and look at that situation. Look at it! Except when you look at all the things we're asking them to do. I mean, imagine this for one second. Imagine if in the NBA, we reviewed every single foul that was called. Like, we slowed it down on replay and we examined it in super slow motion. If the defensive player actually fouled the offensive player, did he hit his four? I think he touched him on the elbow. Yep, that should be a call. Oh, they're going to overturn this. They didn't call it live, but they're going to overturn it. He did touch him on the elbow. That's going to be, imagine if we did that in the NBA. It would be absolutely insane. Hey, it's easy to look at the NFL refs and point out all their mistakes, but can we please stop asking these guys to do so much? See the play clock. See any movement prior to the snap. Watch holding on both sides of the ball, because we know neither side can hold. The defense sure can't touch the offense. Watch to see if the quarterback got breathed on. Watch all pass interference. We're going to review each of these things frame by frame to see if you missed them. Got to see if players are in bounds. We got to see if a catch is a catch. Got to see if a fumble is a fumble. We've got to see if you crossed the line or if the spot was correct. There is just way too much on these guys' plates. Add into the fact, these refs aren't even full-time employees. Most of them are over 50 years of age. What do you think you're going to see? So every once in a while, you just might get an illegal hands of the face called when a defensive player touches an offensive player's shoulder pads, because we're asking these refs to see everything. And in reality, sometimes I think they're seeing nothing. They're starting to see ghosts that don't exist. Never has officiating, especially in the NFL, but I think sports-wise, anywhere, never has it been so difficult, yet never has it been so criticized. These guys literally have an impossible job. Not figuratively, they literally have an impossible job, and we keep adding to the things they have to do, not taking away. Yes, the NFL referees are lousy, as long as we don't look at all the things we're asking them to do, because then it's just ridiculous. I wouldn't want that job. And I don't know of anyone who would want that job. Yeah, easy to point at the NFL referees, but that's a really, really tough job they're put in. Let's talk about a couple of the top teams in the NFL right now. You know, I know they haven't always looked like the defending NFC champions, but hey, look at the talent that the Los Angeles Rams have now. They went out, they acquired cornerback Jalen Ramsey. He looked pretty good on Sunday. Yes, they probably gave up way too much for him, but the Rams are stacked. Make no mistake about that. They arguably have the best defensive lineman in Aaron Donald, and now the best cornerback in Jalen Ramsey on that same defense. That's not all. Dante Fowler, Clay Matthews, Michael Brockers, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks. The Los Angeles Rams are the most talented team in the NFC, and they're pretty easy to look at least when you look at them on paper. But if you look at them a little bit more closely, again, then you're going to see some ugliness. You're going to see some warts. You're going to see, you know, some wrinkles. You're going to see some crow's feet that maybe you didn't see when they used the Instagram filter. And let's talk about that, because have you seen those people that look gorgeous from, you know, 20, 30 feet away? But then when you get up close, you've got the botched plastic surgery, teeth are turning colors on them. That might be the Los Angeles Rams right now. Quarterback Jared Goff, dude is struggling. Jared Goff is one of those quarterbacks. He looks great against bad teams. But put him against a good defense, he looks really, really average. On the season, Jared Goff has 10 touchdowns. He's got 7 interceptions already in this era. Really? With Sean McVay's brilliant passing game, you've got 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions? It's not just Jared Goff. Todd Gurley still doesn't have any explosion. Now, he looked like he might be back in the opener against Carolina. Todd Gurley ran for like 97 yards on just 14 carries, but since then, he's averaging like 42 yards a game. On Sunday against the Falcons, the Rams were pulling Todd Gurley out in short yardage situations. Wait, there's more. Remember, the Rams gave away a million picks to get Jalen Ramsey. So I don't know how much building for the future you're doing. Oh, and after this season, the Rams have 19 player contracts expiring. So it is definitely Super Bowl or bust for the Los Angeles Rams. And right now, do they look like a Super Bowl team? Not really. They look kind of like one of those 20-footers. Our final look at this, not that, is one that is going to make the majority of us feel probably a little bit queasy. I hope you're ready. Let's look at the New England Patriots. Hey, their offense, it's not very good. We were expecting the Patriots to go 16-0. They finally had some serious threats at wide receiver, even though Rob Gronkowski retired. But now, Antonio Brown, I don't know, he's like starting for Twitter because he sure isn't playing anywhere. Josh Gordon is out with that ankle injury. And I'll just say this, that could be the worst possible scenario for that young man and for the Patriots. Out, hurt, bored. Yeah, that's not a good combo. What could possibly go wrong there besides everything? And I can't believe I'm saying this, but Tom Brady, he's kind of looking mortal this year. Yes, Tom Brady still has his moments, and obviously he's smarter than most every other quarterback in the game. But we are seeing him miss open receivers. He's having to check down a lot. He has already thrown 4 interceptions this season, and he's getting hit. Like, he's getting hit a lot. So far this season, Tom Brady has already been sacked 10 times. And more important than that, he's already been hit 33 times. And those hits are tough enough when you're a young guy like a Deshaun Watson or a Lamar Jackson. But when you're 42, oh, those hits hurt a lot more. And it makes you want to get rid of the ball just a little bit quicker. The Patriots are averaging 31 points a game. But remember, they have played one of the softest schedules in the league. Hey, they had to go out and deal for wide receiver Mohamed Sanu this week to try to upgrade that receiving core. Plus, the Patriots still can't run the ball consistently. Now, look at this. Maybe, just maybe, we are seeing the end of the Patriots' reign. Look at it! Yeah, as long as you don't look at two very, very important things. One, that New England defense, it is excellent. They are dominant. That is one of the better defenses that Bill Belichick has ever had in New England. Now again, New England hasn't really played anyone, but they're just shutting teams out. They're just dominating on the defensive side of the ball. They made poor Sam Darnold look like he had mono again the other night, or rubella, or mumps, or something. They are allowing just 7 points per game and just over 4 yards per play. That does rank them defensively number 1 in the league. But here's the more important thing to remember when we look at the Patriots, and I know we're all kind of hoping maybe the Patriots are going to go away. Who's going to knock them off? The Chiefs? That defense is terrible, and we aren't sure what Patrick Mahomes is going to look like when he returns from his knee injury. The Houston Texans? Do you really have any faith in Houston going on the road and beating anyone? Doubtful. I know Baltimore is looking solid at times, but are you really going to tell me Bill Belichick can't come up with a game plan to stop Lamar Jackson? Yeah, I don't think that would even be close. Now, things can change. I mean, Tom Brady could end up getting injured at the rate he's getting hit, but as much as I'd like to call the Patriots kind of a paper tiger, they're feasting on soft opponents, they're primed for a fall, hey, I can't come up with someone who's going to knock them off their throne, not right now. It is easy to look at their lack of production offensively. Just don't look at that defense. And just don't look at the lack of quality contenders. Because if you do, you're not going to like what you see. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5 we mentioned earlier. Over in college football, the Wisconsin Badgers were upset this past week by the University of Illinois. Hey, if you had Illinois and 30.5 points on Saturday, You weren't just a winner to cover. They won the game outright. So where does a 30.5 point upset rank as far as biggest college football upsets of all time? We'll let you know when we get back. Now, as we do every week, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, like we talked about on Saturday, we saw a huge upset in college football as the Illinois Fighting Illini somehow upset the number 6 Wisconsin Badgers. Hey, the Badgers got another big day out of running back Jonathan Taylor. He ran for 128 yards and a touchdown. And really, when you look at the stats, the Badgers dominated in basically every statistical category. But here's the problem. Wisconsin turned the ball over 3 times. And they committed a number of dumb penalties. A lot of those penalties were of the 15-yard variety, and they allowed Illinois to make big plays of 15 yards or more. And hey, those things add up to a big underdog being in the game at the end, and they don't have any pressure on them. So Wisconsin, a 30.5-point favorite, somehow gets beat 24-23 on a last-second field goal. But is a 30.5-point upset good enough to get on our Daily Dose top 5 list of biggest college football upsets of all time by point spread? Well, not unless we had like a Daily Dose top 10 or 11, because it would come in tied for 11th all time. So good news, Wisconsin Badger fans, you don't make the list. But right now, let's count down the top 5 college football upsets, at least in terms of Las Vegas point spreads of all time. Coming in at number 5, and we go back to 2000, and we go to a rivalry that might be a little bit under everyone's radar, but it's pretty heated if you're involved in it, because Central Michigan and Western Michigan, they play each other every year for the victory cannon, and they do not like each other. Back in 2000, Western Michigan was cruising along. They were 8-1. They were averaging 30 points a game under head coach Gary Darnell and quarterback Jeff Welch. They hosted 1-8 Central Michigan in what was going to be an easy blowout. Las Vegas listed Western Michigan as a 35.5-point favorite. But again, Western Michigan turned the ball over 3 times, and the Central Michigan defense held Jeff Welch to just 99 yards passing. Central Michigan 21, Western Michigan 17. Hey, I hope you took the Chippewas and the points, because 35.5 points, they were not enough. And it comes in at number 5. Moving on to number 4. We actually have a tie here, because both games were given a 36-point spread. That's not how either one of these games finished. We go clear back to 1985, where the Brigham Young Cougars were rolling after they had won that national championship the previous season. Quarterback Robbie Bosco and the Cougars were 6-1. They went to Texas El Paso to face the 0-6 Miners. Hey, UTEP won just one game in 1985, but they beat the number 7 team in the country that was favored to beat them by 36. Also coming in at number 4 is a 1998 game where the 1-6 Temple Owls went to Blacksburg to face the number 14 Virginia Tech Hokies, who were also favored by 36 points. Temple, which actually entered the game 0-26 in Big East Conference road games, trailed by 17 points, looked like it was going to be a blowout. They rallied with 3 second half touchdowns, including a game-winning 1-yard run by freshman quarterback Devin Scott.
Who?
Yes, BYU and Virginia Tech both were upset after being favored by 36 points, and they come in at number 4. We move on to number 3, and we actually have another tie here. This time, the spread was 36.5 points. And once again, forget the spread. These teams got beat outright. In 2007, the 1-3 Syracuse Orange traveled to Louisville to face quarterback Brian Brohm and the number 18 Louisville Cardinals. But Brohm threw 2 interceptions. Syracuse scored 4 touchdowns, all of more than 40 yards. Big plays will beat you. Syracuse beats Louisville 38-35. And in 2012, everyone expected the Houston Cougars to be, well, pretty good. They had gone 13-1 in 2011. That was under head coach Kevin Sumlin and quarterback Case Keenum. So when the season began in 2012, the Vegas odds makers made Houston a 36.5-point favorite over Texas State to open the year. I mean, Texas State plays in the Sun Belt. What are they going to do? Well, except that Houston no longer had Keenum, and they didn't even have Kevin Sumlin anymore. Texas State didn't just beat Houston. They blew them out 30-13. Be careful of those early point spreads, kids. Sometimes the Vegas odds makers think they know a team based on what they did the year before. It could be a completely different team. Syracuse beat Louisville and Texas State beat Houston despite the 36.5-point spread. They come in at number 3. We move on to number 2. And this game was actually back in 2007, but you might actually remember it. Pete Carroll and the USC Trojans were rolling after winning national titles, after winning Heisman trophies. But Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, they were gone. USC was 4-0, and they were number 2 in the country when they hosted the 1-3 Stanford Cardinal and head coach Jim Harbaugh, who was just trying to get going at Stanford. The Trojans were favored by 38.5 points. They were led by quarterback John David Booty, who, of course, did what you can't do. He threw 4 interceptions. And Stanford was down 23-17 with less than a minute to play. Stanford is deep in USC territory, facing a 4th-and-goal. Now, if you want evidence of how much of an upset this actually was, check out this clip from ABC. The announcer actually says, "Touchdown USC," instead of "Touchdown Stanford." I don't even think he could believe it.
4th-and-goal from the 10. Pritchard, straight drop, goes to the fade to the other side. Bradford, touchdown USC! Stanford, touchdown Stanford, my goodness!
Yeah, nice correction, bro. The touchdown was by Stanford, and Stanford pulled off the upset of USC despite being a 38.5-point underdog on the road. Stanford beats USC, and they come in at number 2. So what is the biggest upset of all time by point spread in the world of college football? Well, it was actually just 2 years ago. But it might have been a little bit under the radar for most college football fans. Back in 2017, the UNLV Runnin' Rebels opened up their season, as a lot of teams do, with one of those soft cupcake games against an FCS team. They would face Howard to open the season. Hey, go get a win, set the tone for the season. Yes, it's an FCS team, but you go out and you pound them by 40 or so. Everyone has some success. Everyone gets to play. It's a feel-good situation for everyone involved. Well, Vegas bookmakers made their hometown school a 45-point favorite. Now, was that wishful thinking? Is that Vegas trying to drum up some hometown business? I don't have any idea, but it didn't go well. Howard beat the Rebels 43-40 in a shootout after being listed in Las Vegas sportsbooks as a 600-1 long shot. Howard quarterback Kalen Newton, who's actually the younger brother of Carolina Panthers star Cam Newton, accounted for 330 total offensive yards and 3 touchdowns. And yep, you guessed it, UNLV committed 3 turnovers, because if you're going to have that big upset, seems like you need to have some big turnovers, some big penalties, and allow some big plays, and these things just kind of take care of themselves. You know, it sounds crazy, because blowouts happen all the time, but blowouts can be really, really hard to accomplish. I know it puts a lot of pressure on you as a coach. Players hear those point spreads, and you could act like they don't, but we know they do. They watch the film, they look at their opponents, and they say there's no way that team is going to be able to hang with us. But then maybe you aren't sharp. Maybe you didn't prepare like you usually do. You make a few mistakes, you turn it over, you have a few penalties called because you're a little bit sloppy. Suddenly, we see the underdog get some confidence. The favorite starts to feel some pressure. All of a sudden, you're in the middle of a ball game. Keep that in mind. As we go down the stretch of the college football season, we're going to probably see some big favorites facing some underdogs. But remember, these are young kids. They can feel pressure. They can have a flat day. Anything can happen, and that is what makes college football so exciting. Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to be looking at a few college football and NFL teams. Which ones should really begin panicking? Plus, I mean, it's nearly Halloween. might have to talk about some scary things in the world of sports. And as usual, we will keep you up to date on sports news. Plus, we will have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you, so you know you have to tune in for that. Hey, I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you so much for the emails. Thank you for the text. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you so much for reaching out and sharing the show with someone you know. We can't get new listeners without you doing that. We absolutely love it when you do. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday.
Looking at me, Swan.